Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Good morning. Well, it's good to be with you again, City of Refuge. It's been, I guess, a solid year since I've been here last. And thank you for such the words you said before. We are at Restoration Community Church. Definitely consider ourselves in partnership with you in the work that God's called us to do in these communities in this area. And so I'm excited to be here, and I want to share what God has on my heart. But let me just open up with a word of prayer, and we'll do that. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for the opportunity to come to lift our voices to you, to proclaim you as Lord. And Father, as we talk this morning about the activity of a friend, pray you would lead us and speak to us. Father, encourage us, convict us if we need it. But Lord, help us to be what you called us to be. It's our desire to please you and honor you in all things. So this morning we ask that you would help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as he mentioned earlier, I'm a part of a church called Restoration Community Church, and we are just on the other side of 288 in the OST South Union community, Third Ward area. And I've been involved in inner city ministry my entire ministry, probably, you know, about 30 years. All of that time, I've been involved in urban inner city ministry, whether it's here in Houston, in Chicago, in Atlanta, in Mississippi. And so I've had the opportunity over that period of time to observe friendships and relationships, especially in an urban context. And there's some similarities that I've noticed as I've had the opportunity to mentor young people in a couple of generations. There is a common story that I've seen play out. And that story kind of looks like this. I've seen young men, young boys, even young girls sometimes, have relationships, play ball together, go to school together, chase girls together, get into mischief together, do all kinds of things in what they have established as a friendship. But what I've also seen in that context is somewhere along the line, sometimes that mischief may lead to somebody going to jail. And in that moment when somebody is incarcerated, in my conversations with them or in my conversations with them later on, one of the things that they always end up sharing is that, you know, Mr. David, all the dudes that I ran with, all the guys that were my boys, none of them came to see me. We did everything you could imagine doing together. We made all kind of pledges together. But the entire time I was locked up, nobody came to see me. Nobody even wrote me a letter. Pastor David, they wouldn't even pick up my phone call. Sometimes in life, we have an understanding of what we think a true friend is, only to find out we've been misinformed. Only to find out it's not what we thought it would be. And one of the things that's most disturbing to me, even in the day and times that we live in now, one of the things that disturbs me about our culture or what we've evolved into is this idea that when somebody has a fall or when somebody's life is coming apart, everybody runs and sticks a microphone in their closest friend's face and say, "Do you disavow him? Will you run away from him now that you know what you know about this person? What do you say? What do you have to say about them?" And the culture we live in now says, "Oh, I don't know him. Not my friend. Hey, I didn't know that about the guy. I didn't know that about her. So you can't put that on me." Well, this sermon today is entitled "The Activity of a Friend," because I want to talk about what does the Bible say about a friend. Now, don't get me wrong, there are decisions and things that are done, and sometimes people have to pay the price for that. And there are decisions that friends make that sometimes we have to condemn. But I'm talking about what is my role, my responsibility to somebody I call friend. Whether they are on the top of the mountain or in the deepest valley they may have ever experienced. What does God say to me and how I am to conduct myself? And so if this sermon or this message metaphorically was a pot of greens, it's the Christmas season, I've been eating, so y'all bear with me. If it was a pot of greens and we put all the ingredients in there and we let it all boil down and render down to what it's going to be and we take the top off and look at it, I think what you would see in the bottom of that pot is one simple statement, and is what I hope you walk away with today. A friend loves. A friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7 says, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, love is not bragging, it is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked and does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Last year, I was in a car with my wife, and we were making a short trip, and I was sharing to her some things that had happened in my life that I knew would probably impact her. I wanted to tell her about it. And as we began to conversate about it, we began to talk about this relationship. We've been married for 22 years. And she made the statement to me, and I really agree with it. I was in the spirit with it. She said, David, I just don't think there's anything that we couldn't work through. I just really feel like we could probably work through just about anything we had to face. Now, you might say, well, yeah, Pastor Hill, that's the whole reason to get married. You said that at the altar. But if you know like I know, it's one thing that when it comes out of your mouth, it's another thing when you got to walk it out. You know, I made a pledge that I was going to lose 10 pounds before the year was over. Well, the year is almost up. And them 10 pounds are still with me, maybe more like 7 or 8. But they're still with me. There's something different about having to walk out what comes out of my mouth. And the reason I think as we sat and talked about this, the reason that it was paramount at that time, and I think it's important to recognize this in friendship too, is that it's not the great moments of our marriage that enabled us to say that. It was not the wonderful birth of all four of our children, all the times she did the special things for me and I did the special things for her. That wasn't the thing that, even though those things are great, what enabled us to say that was the very difficult times. It's the hard times in friendship that make it special, believe it or not. Today, when trouble enters our friendship, we feel like it's a time for abandonment. In fact, adversity has the potential to make it closer than it ever was. In fact, I like to say, adversity is not a friendship killer, it's actually a friendship revealer. It's the difficult times that tell you, man, what you really got. It's the hard times that make me say, I choose to walk with you. I choose to stand with you, even though this is a difficult time. And so knowing that, it makes us ask this question. Who are my friends and who am I willing to love like that? Because I got some bad news for you that I need to let you in on. Don't get mad at me when I tell you this. But all them people on Facebook that's under your title of friends, they're not all your friends. They're associates mostly. Some of them just want to keep up with you so they can hate on you, if I keep it real. But we live in a society that say, well, man, look how many friends I got. Well, let me ask you this. Who are you willing to love in a manner in which we're talking about today? Because the people you're willing to love, like 1 Corinthians says and like Proverbs 17 says, those are your friends. And I promise you, when we start talking about who I have the capability and the desire to love like that, that list gets short. Because a friend is called to love at all times. Proverbs 18, 24 says this, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Too many friends randomly chosen can leave you in a mess, but one chosen with the right qualities will be there, even when family is not. What am I trying to say today? Is that, man, we need to really, as we walk into this next year, one of the things I had to really look at is, oftentimes when we think about this, we think of it through the lens of, who hasn't been a friend to me? Who's turned their back on me? Who hasn't done the things or lived out the qualities that I desire in a friend? But very rarely do we say, how have I been as a friend? How have I loved in times of difficulty? How have I treated the people whom I said I committed myself to as a friend? Sometimes we have to take a look in the mirror and say, maybe I don't have the friends around me that I desire because I haven't been the kind of friend that I desire. It's a good chance. But I realize this, if that is what I desire in my life, then it's something I need to demonstrate. Let me read this to you. John 15, 12 through 17 says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. You know, one of the saddest things is that in a world that's falling apart, in a world that has all kind of mixed and crazy messages, that sometimes, even in the church, you don't see that last statement played out, that you love one another. How many times, even in the family of God, have people said, I ain't got nothing to do with you. I ain't fooling with you no more. I heard who you voted for. Come on now. I heard what you stand for. I heard who you roll with. I don't have nothing else to do with you. Even the very people we call friends, instead of playing out what God has given us, that I have given you this commandment, that you love one another, that the world around you may see, oh, this is how it's done. This is how people from across all kind of lines, whether they be culturally, economic, political, this is how they're able to walk out and bear one another in love, because of a command given by a Savior, that you love one another. As we walk into this next year, that will probably be crazier than this last year in a lot of ways. But that has nothing to do with the commandment given to you and me. We are called to live out and walk out the very same command, to love one another. And if there is someone you call friend, this may be the year, or this may be the year that someone that calls you friend, you may experience devastation like you've never experienced it before. They may experience a fall like they never experienced before. How will you walk out the relationship of someone that you call friend? Not an associate, not somebody you see every now and then. Someone that you have said, this is my friend. When they need you most, when they've been fired and maybe they have been a part of something corrupt on the job and everybody has abandoned them, will you call them? Will you be seen in public with them? When their lives are falling apart, you've called them a friend. Will you walk that out? I don't know about you, but I can't talk about friendship without talking about the greatest friend we've ever had. Amen. We sang the song this morning, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God chases me down till I'm found, even if he had to leave the 99. He chased me down. He found you. And I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I know where I was. I know the condition that my heart was in. I know the mess and the filth that I was wrapped in. Yet he said, David, I want to be your friend. I want to know you in a way. And I'm going to stick with you no matter what you go through. Having known a Savior like that, having experienced that kind of love, how could I not give it away? I know that here, but sometimes it's so hard here. When I've been done wrong, when I feel like you out of bounds, you crossed the line, got to be reminded, I was out of bounds. And I crossed the line. But Jesus said, I'm still going to come for you. I'm still going to come for you. All I'm trying to say this morning to your church is, if you call someone a friend, see what this will do, it'll make you measure your words carefully. You won't just be randomly calling everybody friend if you know what that entails. So those that you do say, then that is my friend. God's called you to love them, walk with them, even in times of adversity. Let me close by telling you this. I also can't talk about a friend without talking about your pastor here. I can't tell you what kind of friend he's been to me. I remember when he came here to this city. I've always been a follower of Tony Evans, had gone to his conferences every year. Of course, when he was coming here, known that he had had that association. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I wonder if this guy would even have time to sit down and have lunch with me. Never thought I would have the opportunity to even spend any time with this guy. And I can't tell you, he's become one of my most cherished friends. We've taken road trips together, spent hours talking, been able to share my heart with him, been able to hear his heart, been able to walk out things with his family and be able to walk out things with my family. He has truly conducted himself in a manner of a friend. Even in some of my lowest moments, I've been able to say, man, I need you to walk with me through this. And he's done it. I have to say, I've never had a friend from Japan. And I've learned a lot. It's a different guy. But it's been a blessing. I'm so grateful for it because there are things that I've learned I never would have known. And I've tried to share things about him, about being a brother, that he might have never known. You know what I'm saying? And it's really been an enriching part of our relationship. And you know the most beautiful part about it? He and I don't agree on everything. It's a lot we don't agree on. But you know what? Even with that, he still let me come and preach here. You know what I'm saying? And I still let him come and preach in my church. And so what we've learned is that, you know what? You don't have to agree with everybody. We agree with everything for somebody to be your close friend. But we agree on what matters most, that Jesus came. He died on the cross. And he rose on the third day. And he's called us both to tell everybody we can about a Savior. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let differences stop you from the activity of a friend. Don't let background, whether it be how you grew up, where you came from, what you all about, don't let that be the determining factor in your activity of a friend. If God's placed somebody in your life and you called them a friend, walk out the principles that he's laid out for us. Be there in times of adversity. Love closer than a brother. And by all means, follow his command to love one another, that the world may know what he's called us to be. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray for each and every heart, including myself this morning. Father, sometimes relationships and friendships can be so tricky, can be so difficult. How do we walk this thing out, Lord, when sometimes in our own hearts there are so many issues, not to mention all the things that come along with trying to walk it out with somebody else. But Lord, I pray that if nothing else is heard, that we will remember this one thing. A friend loves. A friend loves at all times. Sometimes we don't even have the words to say. We don't know what to say. But you've called us to love as you've loved us. So, Father, I pray for those who may have wounded relationships, for those who may suffer from relationships from their very closest friends and their own family. Pray you would help us and guide us that we may be what you've called us to be. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you this morning.